It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're talking water this hour, and we want to know how water affects you. Bridget Bowden found that water is one of the biggest concerns for voters around the state. Bridget is helming WPR's Beyond the Ballot project, which explores the relationship between voters and the issues most important to them. And water quality is definitely an issue.
There are about 900,000 private wells in Wisconsin. People rely on the water for drinking, cooking, and bathing. And some of them are worried, like Chris Bersian, who lives in Broadhead. He says he worries about his well getting contaminated with bacteria from manure from nearby farms.
The thought of that leaching into the groundwater and, poisoning our well is kind of scary.
There are a few ways that this could happen. Manure is often stored in large lagoons or spread over farm fields as fertilizer. Depending on the depth of the soil and the time of year, it can potentially leach down into the groundwater.
Yeah, it has the potential to really hurt. If our well gets contaminated, then what are we going to do?
He's worried that he may one day have to buy water for his family to use.
But not only that, but it will ruin the property value. It's just kind of a bad situation all the way around.
Some people, like Bersian, are worried about very large farms. Farms with more than 1,000 animal units have to have permits to operate in the state. They're known as concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs. Becky Larson is a professor of biological systems engineering at UW-Madison and UW-Extension. She says the biggest misconception is that only large farms are dangerous for drinking water.
Personally, I think I disagree with that message and that it is not a size that is to blame, it's a management practice.
She says one of the best things people can do is pay attention to what their local governments are doing.
If a farm is large for a permitting process, there are public hearings that go on that you can attend to voice your concerns. Past that, it is difficult to influence whether or not a farm can locate in a certain area.
Larson says some parts of the state are especially vulnerable to well contamination, like some parts of eastern Wisconsin in areas where the soil is very shallow. In January, the State Department of Natural Resources approved restrictions on manure spreading in 15 counties in eastern Wisconsin. The plan needs to be approved by Governor Walker and then will head to lawmakers. Larson says people who are worried about their own water should go to public meetings and voice their concerns.
So people's concerns are very valid, and anything concerning your own resources and your land and where you live and your health is absolutely of a concern.
Janet McConaughey is worried about the 6 dairy and beef CAFOs in Jefferson County where she lives. So she started volunteering, testing water in the area. And then she went one step further. She decided to run for office for a spot on the town board in Ixonia.
My representative on the county board said, well, why don't you just run? So only takes 20 signatures to get on the ballot. And here I am.
She says she ran with her 5-year-old grandson in mind.
What I'm concerned about is Jordan's world. So I want to know that when he's grown up, he'll have a decent place to live. He'll have clean air, clean water.
In the end, McConaughey lost her race for town board. Both seats were won by incumbents. But she says she'll continue to do everything she can to protect the groundwater in her town. Bridget Bowden, Wisconsin Public Radio.
How does water quality affect you? Have you abandoned using your well? Have you or your family member gotten sick from using tainted well water? Are you a farmer who is wondering where your cattle can deposit their waste? 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. We have Bridget Bowden here in studio with us. Welcome. Good morning, Bridget.
Thanks for having me.
So we just heard that people are worried about their drinking water. Is it more than that?
Sure, yeah. Drinking water is definitely a big concern for some people, but there are plenty of other types of water that people depend on. There's lake water, river water, water that's used for recreation. So water is a big concern that, spans several different areas.
And a lot of lakes are contaminated in this way?
So there are some lakes that do have blue-green algae. I'm sure that you've heard of that recently with all the heat we've been having. And then certainly other contaminants people are worried about. You know, if people are going to be jumping in lakes, they're going to be worried.
Yeah. So the gamut of challenges, what are you hearing from listeners in terms of how this is affecting how they're moving forward with their vote?
Right. So there are a bunch of different issues at hand here. There's no one specific, you know, water problem that we have. Like I mentioned, the blue-green algae, that's been huge, especially these last few weeks. But there's also issues like high-capacity wells drawing water that might affect people's lake levels. There are issues with Lake Michigan. There are so many different issues that have to do with water.
High-capacity wells. Tell me about what that is. I don't understand.
So there has been a lot of information about this put out. Basically, high-capacity wells draw a lot of water, and people have concerns about what that does to their well levels, their lake levels, and among other things.
People taking, like one corporation or something, taking too much water. Is that what it is? Or
it's farms.
Farms. So we heard from Janet McGahey in your piece.
McConaughey.
We heard from Janet McConaughey, who ended up running for office because she's worried about her grandson. She wants water to be better for him, among other things. How else is this an election issue?
So in the Beyond the Ballot project, one of our questions is, what is the most important issue to you this election season and why? And one of the most common answers to this question is water. So it is an election issue. It is something that people care about as they head to the polls. It may even, you know, affect which candidates people pick in the end.
So is there a region of the state where water is more important than another region of the state?
So that's something that's really interesting, is that, you know, what water issues affect you might be affected by what region of the state you live in. So if you live in northeastern Wisconsin, where the soil is very shallow, you might be concerned about your well being contaminated by bacteria. In other parts of the state, you might be concerned about algae. If you live on a lake, you might be concerned, like we mentioned, about high capacity wells. If you live near Lake Michigan, you might be concerned about some of the issues at play there.
And Wisconsinites, they may choose their elected officials. Has anybody come out and said, this is the guy who's my water guy, or this is the woman who's my water woman? Or have the candidates not really talked about that much?
It might be too soon to know. You know, we've still got a primary coming up for the governor's race. So we'll see who comes out as, you know, the water candidate.
We are talking with Bridget Bowden about our Beyond the Ballot series, and we are taking your calls about water today, this entire hour, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at WPR.org. Remind us again, talk to me about Beyond the Ballot, what you're doing, and what kinds of issues you're exploring.
So Beyond the Ballot is a project that WPR is doing this year, where we are going to talk to 500 people across the state and ask them all the same six questions, and then use their answers to inform our election coverage. So we're trying to find out what is important to people, what they care about as they head to the polls.
And how many people do you have so far?
Almost 200.
Almost 200.
Yep.
And you guys are fanning out all over the state. Is water one of those questions, or is that something that's just come up?
It's just something that's come up. The questions, you know, we don't feed anyone issues. They tell us what's important to them.
If listeners want to get involved, you're going to state fairs and all sorts of events to talk to people. But how can they get in touch with us?
Yeah, we would love it if people would reach out to us to tell us what is important to them. So we have a hotline. It's 877-782-8942. Or people could also email us at beyondtheballot@WPR.org.
And there is a website, and it's really easy to remember, too.
Yes, it's WPR.org/ballot. You can see all the stories there. There's also an online form you can fill out if you want to give your answers to the questions. questions, you can fill it out right there.
You can participate in Beyond the Ballot in many ways. We are talking about water. This entire hour, we are talking about well water and your worries about contamination. We are talking about lake water and perhaps algae growing. And we are going to be soon talking about Foxconn and its use of Lake Michigan water. Bridget Bowden is a special projects reporter at Wisconsin Public Radio. She's project manager for Beyond the Ballot, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, we'll be taking your calls about Foxconn with an expert on the issue. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Water, water everywhere, but not a drop for a cell phone screen manufacturer. I'm pretty sure that's not what Coleridge wrote, but it is what many people want the Department of Natural Resources to say. Challengers to Foxconn's use of Lake Michigan water are waiting for the DNR to grant them a hearing. Right now, Foxconn is scheduled to divert 7 million gallons of water a day via the city of Racine from Lake Michigan. They are putting back 5 million gallons a day. Dave Strifling is with us from Milwaukee to discuss this and other water issues. He's the director of Marquette's Law School Water Law and Policy Initiative. Dave, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me.
We also want to ask listeners to call in to talk about their views of this Foxconn diversion. Are you concerned about water quality in your area? 800-642-1234. So first of all, Dave, what I want to start with is Foxconn wants to take out 7 million gallons a day. They want to put back 5 million gallons a day. What is going to be in this $5 million that they're going to be putting back, 5 million gallons, and how will we know what's in it?
Well, that's the big question. We don't know yet exactly what's going to be in the water that's being returned. What Foxconn and the DNR have said so far is that that water is going to be treated through the Racine Wastewater Utilities Wastewater Treatment Facility, and that it will be subject to the utility's permit. And so it will have to comply with the same laws and regulations that any other discharge going back into Wisconsin's surface waters would have to do. We don't know exactly what's going to be in the water, and we could speculate by looking at other Foxconn facilities worldwide, but we haven't seen yet any specifics as to what's been in that water. And lots of people are raising concerns about that, including actually the state of Illinois in a letter that recently the state wrote to DNR, but it's too early to say.
So the state of Illinois comes in when we're talking about the Great Lakes Compact. What is the Great Lakes Compact, and how is it involved in this discussion?
So the compact is an agreement between the Great Lakes states that generally prohibits diversions of Great Lakes water outside the basin. And there are certain exceptions to that under limited circumstances. And one of those was in play with the Waukesha diversion. Another one is in play here with Foxconn. And there's still another one that allows water to be shipped out of the basin in small containers like beer or bottled water. So generally, though, the agreement operates as a ban on diversions of water outside the basin.
So let me go back a little bit here. Define the basin, because from what I understand, part of Racine is in the basin and part of Racine is not in the basin, correct?
Right. So the city of Racine is entirely within the basin, and that's another sort of sub-issue here that it's a little strange that they are the ones applying for this diversion, even though they're entirely within the basin. What's going on here is that part of the Racine system serves the village of Mount Pleasant, and the village of Mount Pleasant is what the compact defines as a straddling community, meaning that it's partly within and partly outside the basin. And that's one of those exceptions that the compact allows, provided certain standards are met for water to be diverted to a straddling community.
So that community can get water to everybody that lives there, not just the people who live on the part that's on the basin, correct?
Exactly right. That's right.
And so I think it's interesting that Foxconn is not saying, hey, we need this water. Racine is saying, hey, we need this water. How much water does Racine generally use, and how much does this make it more that they use?
Well, again, as you said at the outset, the application here was for an additional 7 million gallons, and that would still leave Racine well under the levels it was at, say, 20 years ago, due to industrial departures and population decline. And that's certainly one of the points that Racine made in the application. So I'm not so sure that the amount here is really the issue. In fact, even the environmental groups challenging the application have said that they're not as concerned about the amount as the use of the water here. That Foxconn is really what this, where this water is going. And indeed, in recent weeks, Foxconn announced that it's actually going to use much less water than it originally thought, because it's installed a new system called a zero liquid discharge system that will allow it to recycle more of the water. I don't think that changes any of the underlying issues here, because it's still going to take millions of gallons a day of water. So the again, I don't think the objection here is really to the amount. It's really to the use.
The fact that a corporate entity is using this public water.
Right. That's right.
We are taking your calls about Foxconn. We're also taking your calls about other water issues that you have with in Wisconsin. Is there algae in your local lake? Are you afraid to swim in it? Do you have water well issues? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's talk about Foxconn and Illinois and this Great Lakes Compact and the people who are challenging it, because I find it interesting that the people who are challenging it seem to be from Wisconsin, and they're using this idea of the Great Lakes Compact, but I haven't really heard anything from the other Great Lakes states.
That's right. So one of the interesting things about this is, for certain of the exceptions to diversions, including the one at issue here, the decision whether to approve it or not rests solely with the DNR. So the other states were able to submit comments to DNR on the application, but they did not have a veto vote the same way they did with Waukesha. Waukesha was completely outside the basin, but it lies within a straddling county, and that was seen as a more severe exception to the compact. And so all of the states had a veto vote over that application.
And let's take us back for a second. Why did Waukesha need more water?
Waukesha needed more water because over the years it had depleted its groundwater supplies to the extent that it had to drill deeper and deeper. And the deeper you drill for water, typically it becomes more and more contaminated. In Waukesha's case, the problem was radium. The water became so contaminated with radium that it did not meet EPA standards. And so Waukesha needed another source, and it turned to the Great Lakes for that and filed its own application. And in Waukesha's case, it took decades, literally, and millions of dollars on technical studies and legal work before that application was granted. The Foxconn application was granted very quickly, within a year, by the DNR, and so I think part of that is because it's this straddling community issue rather than a community in a straddling county. And so, you know, the other states aren't involved as much. Part of it is just DNR wanted to streamline this process and get it done as quickly as it could.
So who are the challengers in this case?
Right. So the challengers are a number of environmental groups, and the law firm involved is Midwest Environmental Advocates, which represents environmental groups and citizens in a number of matters like this. And the issue that they're raising is this. The compact allows diversions only when the water is going to be used for public water supply purposes. And I don't want to get too far into the weeds here, but it's really important to understand exactly how the compact defines that term. It says public water supply purposes means water distributed to the public through a physically connected system of treatment, storage, and distribution facilities, serving a group of largely residential customers that may also serve industrial, commercial, and other institutional operators.
Mm.
So what the challengers are saying is this isn't meant to serve largely residential customers. It's meant to serve Foxconn, which obviously is not a residential customer. But there's another way to read that definition, and that's the interpretation that DNR is taking, which is that you focus on the system. The city of Racine's system serves largely residential customers, and DNR has done an analysis in which they compute that the Racine system as a whole serves 90% residential customers, not looking at volume, just looking at numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And so this DNR is looking at the system. The challengers are looking at the end use, and that's really the legal dispute that we're facing here as this plays out.
We are talking about Foxconn's use of water. We're also talking about water around the state with Dave Strifling, the director of Marquette Law School's Water Law and Policy Initiative. We're taking your calls here, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. You talked about Foxconn announcing that it's going to install technology to lower its water needs. Has Illinois or anybody else said that that's a good thing?
Well, I think I haven't seen any formal statements to that effect, but I think everybody would agree that's a good thing, no matter what side of this you're on. Again, I don't think it will do away with the challenge or make people think that Foxconn is a public water supply purpose or a largely residential customer, but spending $30 million to reduce the amount of water you use is good, I think, no matter what side of this you're on, whether you think Foxconn should get this water or not.
So what do you think made them decide to do this? I mean, were they reacting to pressure, or was this just something that was they're trying to streamline their internal systems?
Well, if you look at their public statements, of course, Foxconn representatives say that they're just taking their responsibility seriously to preserve Wisconsin's environment and our precious resources, our Great Lakes water, that they're actually trying to not only comply with regulations but exceed them. But, of course, I think you're right that the reality is there's been a backlash here over the amount of water that's being used and the purpose that it's being taken for. And I think a lot of the folks sort of at the periphery of this expressed some surprise that Foxconn had initially said they weren't going to do this and then changed course and said they would. And I think the most logical explanation for that is, yeah, there's been some pressure on the various environmental aspects of this deal. We had a poll result, through the Marquette Law School poll that said over 60% of respondents were either somewhat concerned or very concerned about the environmental impacts of the Foxconn facility. So I think this is an issue that's rising to the public consciousness more and more.
We had Chris call to say that people in other states do care about the environmental impact of Foxconn and the Kohler Golf Course. I have friends in Michigan, and their well went dry, and they aren't sure they can tap another one successfully. Groundwater is at stake. So first, I want you to talk to me. What does he mean about the Kohler Golf Course?
Kohler Golf Course, the issue there, at least as far as I understand it, is wetlands and wetland destruction adjacent to Lake Michigan. So I'm sure you've talked about wetlands on the show at some point before, but They're very important, serve a lot of ecological functions as storm buffers and habitat and purification devices, and really underappreciated in terms of all those functions that that they serve. And they are also a conduit for groundwater exchanges between groundwater and surface water. And so I'm not sure that that would affect an individual well in Michigan, but certainly broad destruction of wetlands is something that that we all should be concerned about.
We are talking about water and Foxconn in particular at this moment. Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Terry from Green Bay, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me on this morning. Great conversation here. I did have a question for your guest regarding Foxconn did not have to provide an environmental impact statement. And there was a lot of uproar from the public and public testimony about how, like, we're not going to know how this is going to impact the environment there for Mount Pleasant and also the water that is going to be, you know, being put back into Lake Michigan. So if they would have had to do something like that, what would we know from that environmental impact statement at this point in the process?
Excellent question. Thank you, Terry. So, Dave?
Sorry to interrupt. It is a good question. And, you know, it's sort of a philosophical exercise at this point. We don't know. We don't know what we would.
I don't understand. Why weren't they required to provide an environmental impact statement?
So the environmental impact statement process in Wisconsin is modeled on a similar federal law, and it's a procedure process. It just requires an agency approving a permit for something that will have a major impact, a significant impact on the environment, to study exactly what that impact will be. And it's a procedural requirement. It doesn't require the agency to ultimately choose the most environmentally protective alternative. It's just a device to get information to the agency decision makers and to the public about what the environmental impacts of this will be. Now, getting to your question, the reason that the project is exempt is that state lawmakers exempted it in the Foxconn legislation. And the reason that I've heard for that, at least in public statements, is that Foxconn wanted to get on the ground and running as quickly as possible, and it just wouldn't have happened if it had had to go through that process. And so it was written out of the legislation authorizing the process. And you know, I think there is a lot of concern about, you know, it's sort of dangerous to be authorizing individual exemptions from the environmental laws for particular projects, but that's exactly what happened here.
So what if Foxconn doesn't get the water? What if DNR says, no, we're not going to divert this? Is the entire deal predicated on this?
Well, that's a very interesting question. They'd have to get the water from another source, and I haven't seen any studies about whether the groundwater in that area would be sufficient for Foxconn to drill a well and get the water that it needs. That's certainly what want here. They want DNR's approval to be withdrawn, but then Foxconn would have to find that water from another source. I think that if we weren't sitting on the Great Lakes Basin here in southeastern Wisconsin, Foxconn wouldn't be here either. They need a large water supply to do the kind of manufacturing that they want to do. You know, the question is, could they have situated the facility entirely within the basin? Were there other parcels of land that would have suited them that were inside the basin? I just don't know. But if DNR withdraws its application, we'll have to find the water from somewhere, or it won't be able to do the manufacturing project that it intends to do.
And we will talk about that other somewhere, i.e. groundwater, in a moment. We are talking about water this hour. Marquette Law School's Dave Strifling and I have been chatting about Foxconn, but we are also talking about groundwater and the worries that you have about water in your area. It's The Morning Show. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. There is so much water in and around Wisconsin, but it's not always well taken care of, and residents dispute who gets to benefit. Millions of wells around the state have been contaminated by naturally occurring substances or by entities such as an old Army munitions dump. And in the meantime, Foxconn wants to use a lot of the water from Lake Michigan, not a lot of the water, but you know, a good few billion. That issue is being fought over with the DNR. And we would like to hear your thoughts on this. What are your water issues? Does there need to be more oversight from the state to prevent toxic exposures? Do you live in a community with old lead pipes that need to be replaced? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is where you can email us, and you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We are talking with Dave Strifling today, the director of Marquette's Law School's Water and Policy Initiative. And we've got some emails that have come in and some calls that have come in, Dave. John in Milwaukee called to say, if per day 7 million gallons are being used, but only 5 million are coming back, where are the 2 million gallons going?
They are evaporating. What Foxconn is using a lot of the water for is cooling towers, and that has a significant evaporative component. So some of that water may still make its way back to Lake Michigan, depending on weather patterns and rain, but essentially it's evaporating.
And Greg in La Crosse called to ask, the amount of water Foxconn is using isn't as significant as environmentalists make it out to be. Businesses need natural resources to run.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would disagree with that. And again, I think the amount here is not the primary issue that the environmental groups are complaining about. It's the use, and it's looking at what sort of precedent this approval sets for future diversions from the Great Lakes Compact.
So are they looking
under the Great Lakes Compact.
Are they looking at the precedents in terms of companies using water, or in terms of the legislature saying, hey, we don't need to do an environmental impact study and kind of fast-tracking this? Is that what they're really upset about?
No, so that's not a Great Lakes Compact issue. That's a Wisconsin state law issue. The compact issue is this public water supply purposes, residential use issue. That's what they're concerned about, and that's the issue that the state of Pennsylvania raised in its letter to DNR as well, saying, you know, maybe we should look at this. How many other places are there like this out there that might try to make a similar act? That would be a difficult study to do, but it certainly would provide a lot more information about future potential diversions from the basin.
Interesting. We are talking about water and how it affects you and taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Emma from Madison, welcome to the program.
Hello. I'm calling because when we purchased our house 18 years ago, we had the water tested, and it was 4 times the acceptable level of nitrate, so we've been buying water all those years. We've been showering with it, so I'm not sure how safe that's been. And I also want to say that I grew up in northern Wisconsin on a farm, and it was the 50s and 60s, and I know my father put a lot of fertilizer and herbicides on the land. My mother had Parkinson's, and I don't know, I think that could be part of why she had Parkinson's, and there are a lot of things, I think, that we don't know about contaminants in the water, and also, you know, that the Green Bay area, the Fox River and PCBs, I think that there are also a lot of, or I understand that there's a lot of cancer in that area, a high incidence of people with autism, and so it's not just a theoretical question. I think this really does impact us. So the other thing you were talking about with Waukesha, that they used in excess, or, you know, they used a lot of water, and then they had to dig their wells deeper and found contamination. So I think there are a lot of things we have to think about, how much water is being used, and no one wants one of those large farms across the road from them, and you know, what happens to your water and that sort of thing. So I just wanted to put, you know, a face behind what happens when we're not careful with our water.
Thank you for that, Emma. Dave, Wisconsin is the land of lakes, and it's also the land of farms. These seem to be in competition with each other.
Yeah, I think one of the thanks for the call, first of all. And I think one of the issues that we're really going to have to face up to in the coming decades is the relationship between agriculture and water quality. The Clean Water Act does not do a good job of regulating what we call non-point sources, meaning diffuse runoff from farms and other, and from urban areas as well. And the caller mentioned nitrates, often a component of fertilizers. That's a big cause of algal blooms, which you mentioned a couple of times already, and also can be involved with well contamination as well. So again, this sort of uneasy relationship between agriculture and water quality is something that we'll have to confront.
And she mentioned things like cancer and Parkinson's. Has there been a conclusive correlation between the things that we're finding in our well water and these kinds of diseases?
Lots of debate over that, and I'm not a doctor. I'm not a public health expert, but certainly there is high concern in places like Kewaunee County over contaminants in well water. She mentioned the Fox River. I don't think there's any doubt that the PCBs there are carcinogens, although those were caused by historical papermaking operations, to be clear, not by agriculture. So lots of different things to consider here and unpack as we try to figure out what's causing some of these water quality issues.
We are talking about water today, and we are taking your calls. John in Green Bay, welcome to the program.
Yes, I have a question for Dave, a couple questions. The Foxconn development, they want to use 7 million gallons, but they'll give back 5. So the other 2 million gallons a day they use, are those going to be evaporated now?
Yes, we just answered that question, actually, John. They will be evaporated. They may go back in, through rainfall into the lake.
The question is, I have a friend who's a retired electrical engineer who, in his career, worked with a company, a huge company that made flat screens. And he said that there was extremely toxic chemicals that are used in that process. If I'm right, the DNR has relaxed air quality standards for this project with Foxconn. So is that going to be a problem? I haven't seen that mentioned in the press, that there's extremely toxic chemicals used in this process.
So that's a really good question. The 5 million, if they do 5 million, that is going back into the water, we've talked about that and how we're going to figure out what's in it, but also the 2 million that is evaporating, going into the air, perhaps going back into Lake Michigan or the other Great Lakes. And there's a lot of chemicals used. Has anybody talked about this, Dave?
Yeah, so it is a good question. We don't know a lot about that, and we talked a little bit about this earlier in the show. But first of all, the 2 million that's evaporating, again, I think that's primarily going to be cooling water, not process water. So my thinking is that it probably won't be contaminated to the same degree as the process water. As far as the process water, DNR is saying that, well, whatever's in there, the Racine Wastewater Utility will have to take it out to comply with its permit. But I think that's a pretty difficult promise to make without knowing exactly what's in that water, because our wastewater treatment utilities, our facilities are only designed to take out certain types of contaminants. So without knowing what the constitution of that waste stream is, again, I think it's pretty difficult to promise that a traditional wastewater treatment facility absolutely will remove all of that. Then there's the issue of concentration versus quantity. Even if you're reducing a particular contaminant to a low concentration, there's still some of that that's going back. And when you're talking about 5 million gallons a day or potentially less with this new zero liquid discharge system, that's still a pretty sizable quantity, even at low concentrations.
Can't you just go to other Foxconn facilities around the world and measure what's coming out of their plant?
So that's one possibility. And, you know, you could speculate metals is one of the big components of their discharge. their water discharge in those facilities. They're saying, though, that this facility could be different, and the contaminant levels here could be lower or different chemicals entirely. So it's certainly something to watch closely.
We have time for one more caller, Josh from Oak Creek. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. I just got two comments. One, my wife and I and my kids just recently found North Beach and we're seeing this pretty much right down the road from where Foxconn's going to be. It's a very clean beach, very nice all the time. Although, since Foxconn has been a question with definitely the environment, we can't help but wonder, do we really want to be swimming there anymore? Just like your last caller said, what really is coming back in those 5,000 gallons? The
okay.
other thing that I can't help but point out, it's just, I can't help but say, I find it a little funny that an Eastern world company with completely different, let's say, historically lax EPA rules finds it convenient to use our water here, and it's fast-tracked without an environmental impact report.
Josh, thank you for that. Is it safe, Dave? Is this beach safe?
Oh, I can't answer that question yet without knowing exactly what's going to be in that water coming back. DNR would tell you that it is, that the wastewater utility will treat it to whatever standards it's currently using in its permit. But without knowing what's in the discharge, again, I think it's something to watch closely. It's true that Foxconn has had environmental issues at its other facilities worldwide. But as the caller pointed out, those places didn't necessarily have the same kind of laws and regulations that we have here in the United States. So that's what DNR is relying on. It's a waiting game for now to see exactly what the constitution of that waste stream is going to be and whether the Racine wastewater treatment facility can handle it.
We have been exploring the not-so-sparkling issues facing Wisconsin's water with Dave Strifling. He is the director of Marquette Law School's Water Law and Policy Initiative. Thanks for talking with us today, Dave.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network.